The weather's scorching hot, and we're all flocking to the beach for a cool dip. This, of course, means more shark sightings. Now, this year, shark experts are scratching their heads because more Australians have been killed in shark attacks this year since 1934. There have been 8 cases in Australia, and scientists are unsure why sharks are behaving this way. To calm your swimming anxieties is Professor Cullum Brown. Now, Professor Brown is from the Department of Biological Sciences at Macquarie University. He joins us this morning to tell us why sharks are coming closer and closer to our shores. Cullum, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. As a scientist, was it a surprise to hear about notable increase in shark attack deaths this year?
Look, certainly the number of fatalities this year is unusual, and I think you mentioned that you have to go a long way back in Australian history to get that kind of number. But the interesting thing, I think, is that the number of incidents overall is pretty much bang on average. I think we've had 26 incidents this year. We had 20 last year, 27 the year before. In 2016, it was 26. So it's kind of normal to have, you know, low to mid-20 in terms of the interactions, but the fatalities, you know, it's usually one per annum. So 8 is certainly unusual.
Right. Okay. Why do you think that is?
Look, it's very difficult to know. And I guess the first thing we need to keep in mind is that, you know, sharks don't hunt people. They don't eat people. So
I don't believe you.
Crocodiles certainly do. Sharks don't. Okay. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking a bite, assessing whether or not you're edible. Basically, this: are you a seal or aren't you? And if you're not a seal, they're going to spit you back out. And the trouble is that when a decent sized shark bites you, you are almost certainly going to die of blood loss unless something can be done very quickly. So people don't get eaten by sharks, they get bitten by a shark. And, you know, 99 times out of 100, they get back to shore and die of blood loss. So it's the blood loss that kills you, not the shark. It's not eating you.
Yeah.
So that's the problem.
Are there more of us in the water as well since 1934?
Well, there certainly are. And one would argue that the number of white sharks has declined drastically since 1934. So, but as I say, the number of incidents is about average. It's the number of fatalities that's really interesting, and that's going to be difficult to explain. Having said that, you know, last year and the year before, we had a couple of I would say near misses where, you know, people were bitten up in the Whitsundays, for example. We had a couple of people in a row that were bitten there, and there were paramedics on the boat at the scene. So that was fortuitous, because if you can manage to get the person out of the water and stop the bleeding, then you survive. If you can't do that, then you don't. So there's an element of luck to it. You know, how far from the shore are you? How quickly can you get help? Where on the body is the bite? You know, even if you get bitten on the leg, we had a chap who was interviewed on the radio not long ago. He was bitten on the thigh, and it missed his femoral artery by about 2 centimetres or something. Oh. If it had got his artery, he'd be dead.
Yeah, right.
So that's just the way it goes, unfortunately, with these sort of traumatic events.
Right, okay. Your research says that climate change may also be a factor. What role does it play in shark behaviour?
Yes, well, climate change, you know, we all know about climate change on land because we've seen the fires and we've lived through the heat waves. But in fact, climate change is worse in the oceans. The oceans absorb something like 70% of the heat from the earth. So climate change is happening faster in the marine environment than it is on land. And the east coast, the southeast coast in particular, is a climate hotspot. So the water in the southeast coast is changing 3 to 4 times faster than the global average. So there are massive changes afoot and in our neck of the woods in the oceans. So there's lots of things that are happening. I mean, the first is just a general increase in the warming, but we also have, you know, severe La Nina, El Nino impacts that are happening. And also the East Australian Current varies in strength, but generally as we get hotter and hotter summers, that the East Australian current will be flowing harder and further down the coast. So we get a combination of all these influences happening simultaneously, which means that our water temperatures are going up rapidly.
Is that impacting shark food, like what they normally eat?
Yes, that's right. I mean, that's really, let's face it, a shark's a shark, right? What it's primarily interested in more than anything is finding its food. And most of the bites that we encounter in Australia are juvenile white sharks around about the 2.5 metre mark. And they're of an age where they're mostly eating fish, but their jaw is starting to crystallize and they can start to take on bigger things like seals and turtles and stuff like that. And they just don't know what they can and can't eat. And unfortunately, the way a shark finds that out is by having a little experimental bite.
He's been biting something.
Right. So that's basically what happens. They're chasing big schools of fish and they'll hang out around seal colonies and things like that. So that's really what's driving them. If you can figure out what's moving the fish, then you can figure out where the sharks are going to be. And inevitably, that's things like upwellings and where the plankton is and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. So state governments are setting traps and enclosing beaches in shark nets, and some are thinking about culling sharks as well. Are these methods actually effective in preventing unprovoked shark attacks?
Well, I mean, as a whole, no. And we know that from both the Australian experience, various experimental things we've done in New South Wales recently. There's also shark netting and various other approaches have been tried in Hawaii and South Africa and California and all these sorts of things, and they just don't work. It's basically a political smokescreen so the government can be seen to be doing something. And to be honest, they don't even work. And there is a massive misconception about shark nets. They don't enclose beaches. There are a couple of examples where they actually do. But shark nets that are usually set by New South Wales DPI, the fisheries guys, they are literally a net floating offshore in the middle of the water. They don't enclose anything. Their sole job is just to catch anything that swims into it. And unfortunately, they're not very good at catching sharks, and they're very good at catching things like, you know, rays and dolphins and migrating whales and just about anything else. So if you look at the data, the sorts of animals and the number of animals that are captured in those nets, nearly all of them die, by the way.
Oh, no.
They're very rarely the target species that they're after. So that'd be, you know, white sharks, tiger sharks and bull sharks.
Yeah. Okay, before we came on air, you said your brothers surf.
Yep.
What advice do you give them about going in the water?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, surfers and spear fishermen are really the people that are most at risk because they spend a lot of time in the water. Most surfers that I know are basically addicted, so they go out every day and they often go at dawn and dusk, which is not a good time because that's actually the time when the sharks are most active. So you want to stay away from those kind of times of day, and you also want to be hanging out with as many people as you can. It's not a good idea to be by yourself because sharks do tend to be a little bit scared by lots of activity in the water. Whereas alone, border or something like that is a bit more, you know, interesting potentially. Things like staying out of the water after heavy rainfall. So bull sharks, for example, tend to hang out around river mouths and things like that after heavy rainfall, waiting for stuff to be washed down the rivers. So there are things you can do. And certainly if you see like bait ball or seals in the water or diving seabirds, do not go surfing amongst that because there's fish under there. And if there's fish, there's going to be sharks.
Oh my goodness. Professor Cullen Brown, thank you so much for your time this morning. Very timely conversation considering we're heading into our peak swimming season. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.